and turn to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. And when you find your place, if you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word. And I want to kind of go along with the same theme that we've been doing in the youth activity inside there. And if you've been in the youth class, I want you to raise your hand and tell me what the theme of youth class has been. What is it, Jace?
Rooted in Christ.
Rooted in Christ. Very good. And that's kind of the theme that Brother Nathan has this year, that his desire is for us, all of us, whether you're young or you're old, whether you're a new Christian or you haven't been saved long, that I believe that it's his desire and God's desire for us to be rooted in Christ. So I want to preach a message this evening on the subject of prayer. And if you look in Matthew, Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, we're going to read down to verse 13. It's commonly known as the Lord's Prayer. But if you just follow along with me, and we'll get started here this evening. The Bible says, But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. Now this is Jesus speaking. Verse 7, But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Isn't that good to know that God knows what we need? Long before we ever pray, God knows what we need. Verse 9, After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and you can be seated. Lord, thank you for this evening. Lord, I just ask that you would use your word in our lives. We love you. Bless each person here in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So rooted in Christ is an awesome theme, right? If there's anywhere that we should be rooted as a Christian, it should be in the person of Jesus Christ. And I couldn't think of anything more that as a young person that I wish that I would have got that squared away when I was a little kid, that that I would have made up my mind that I was going to be rooted in the person of Jesus Christ. The interesting part about our roots is that nobody can really see the roots in the trees. I'm going to review for the kids. This is basically what I've been teaching the kids, and we're just going to follow on into something different. Our roots are the part of our lives that no one sees. The importance of our private lives matching our public lives. And without a healthy root system, the tree won't produce the desired fruit that you're trying to get out of it. And without a healthy root system, the tree is in danger from the storms that it faces in life. And we've been talking about also, if you're going to be rooted in Christ, that you should have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is this, to be a humble, obedient servant. In the Word of God, it commands us, it says, Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And the Bible says that, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So if we're going to be rooted in Christ, the part of our lives outwardly should match the part of our lives that is in private, and then also in our lives, we should have the mind of Christ to be a humble, obedient servant, right? And I talked to the kids about the importance of being a servant, and we taught on the story of when Jesus turned the water into wine, and he told the servants, he said, now it was at a marriage, and Jesus told the servants, or Mary told the servants, whatever Jesus tells you to do, I want you to do it. And that'd be a good lesson in our lives, that whenever Jesus tells, even if you're a kid or if you're an adult in here, whenever Jesus speaks to your heart about doing something, what should we do? We should do it. We should make up our mind and say, it doesn't matter. If God tells me that he wants me to go, like we heard the missionary on Sunday, if God tells me to go to London, England, I'll go to London, England. Right? Hey, and kids, remember, kids, everybody look up here. You remember in junior church when we talk about the five finger rules? What are they? You guys think you can say them out loud? Sit up straight, hands in your lap, eyes on the speaker, no talking. And why do we do that? So we don't distract the people next to us, right? So can you guys help me with that? So being rooted in Christ involves being a humble, obedient servant. And the Bible says that when Jesus turned the water into wine, the only people that knew that Jesus had actually turned the water into wine were who? The servants. The Bible says, but the servants which drew the water knew. So we talked about being a humble, obedient servant. Then we talked about being built up. And that's the part of our lives that people see outwardly that should be a reflection of what's inside of us. And we talked about in order to be built up in Christ, that just like I use the illustration of the platform that we're building, and that you know, wood is not cheap. You go buy a roll of wire. It was $300 for some wire that we were going to buy. We spent over, you know, $1,000 on lumber. We bought screws, bought 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x12s. But that's a perfect illustration in our lives that if we're going to be rooted in Christ, if we're going to have the mind of Christ, if we're going to be a humble, obedient servant, and we're going to be built up, there's going to be a cost to build up. There's going to be a price that we have to be willing to pay, if we're going to be built up in Christ. There's a cost. There's going to be calculations that are going to have to be made. I was encouraging the kids that yes, it's important to listen to your mom and dad, to honor your pastor and to obey the Lord. But sometimes in our lives that we have to make up our mind that we're going to have to think through some things in our life and make some calculations on our own. So we're going to have to pay the cost, make some calculations, and then I said we're going to have to make some cuts. We're going to have to cut some things out of our life. In order to get a 2x4 to fit into the wall that we're trying to build up in our lives, sometimes we have to measure it and we have to cut some things out of our life. Maybe there's something in your life tonight that you say, you know what? If I'm going to be what God wants me to be, not only am I going to have to pay the price and I'm going to have to think through what I'm doing, I may have to cut some things out of my life. And the emphasis last week was on communication. And I started to tell the young people about it. We deal with men that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and that are going through all different types of problems. And one common denominator one thing that's very common in most of them is their ability to communicate with their authority. When they have a problem, and I've been guilty of this, and I'm sure everybody in this room, when they have a problem, they tend not to deal with it properly. So and I told the kids, I said, kids, you know what? God has put your mom and dad in your life for you to communicate with them. If you have an issue, if you got something going on in your life, and sometimes it may be uncomfortable, but if you're going to be built up, if you're going to be what God wants you to be, you're going to have to learn to communicate with the authority that God has placed in your life. And that's the same thing with adults. If I want to keep my job and pay my bills, I'm going to have to learn how to communicate with my boss, right? Brother Will, you hire people all the time. Do you struggle with having people communicate with you when they're having issues? And that's important for us not to let things fester, to not let them build up, to not make a mountain out of a molehill. So I encourage them to do that. Last week was the communication. And this week I want to talk about the matter of prayer. And I believe this, that when I reflect back in my own life, that the area of my life that was lacking the most was this area of prayer. And I don't want you guys to answer this question, but in your mind, I want to ask you something. I want you to answer to yourself in your mind. How long did you spend in prayer today? Now I know everybody's working, and I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything like that. But it's an honest, a valid question, right? If there's a number that popped up in your mind, maybe it was 5 minutes, maybe it was 10 minutes. But if we're going to be what God wants us to be, prayer is going to have to be a vital part of our life. And I don't just mean praying for your food or praying at church or praying when preacher calls on you or praying just to impress people. No, I mean like actually having a prayer life. And if when I was a kid, I never prayed. Ever. I mean, I can't really. I mean, maybe I prayed for the food once or twice. So I have some questions I want to ask you. I want you to think about this. What is prayer? What is it? Is prayer just for adults? Or does God hear the prayers of children? Is prayer reserved for time of emergency, trouble, or despair? Hey, is prayer really that important? Is prayer just for the preacher and for the church leaders? Let me ask you this. What if I really don't feel like praying? Should the only time I pray be for meals? Should I pray to impress others? Does God really listen when I pray? Now, I think if we really believe that God listened, we would talk to him more, right? Or what if I pray silently? If I'm living in sin, will God hear my prayer? And let me ask you this. Think about this. The creator of the entire universe, does God really want me to talk to him? The answer is yes. We're going to look at a few verses in the Bible. We're going to use our Bibles, more of like a Bible study this evening. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Turn over there. I want to read you a few verses about prayer, and then I've got 3 points in Matthew, and then we'll be done. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at what the Bible has to say about our prayer lives. And this is part that isn't maybe as glamorous as some other parts, but if you can get this down to where you make up your mind, you say, you know what? I'm going to have a prayer life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Now, this is God speaking. Or we'll start in verse 16. It says, rejoice evermore. That's a great verse. Pray. What does it say? Without ceasing. So that means, now go over to Psalm chapter 5. Go over to Psalm chapter 5. I want to look at David, what David did. So pray without ceasing. You say, Brother Joshua, how in the world could I pray without ceasing? Well, I would say this, that you'd have to start early in the morning. If you're gonna pray without ceasing, you're going to have to start first thing in the morning. I want you to look at what David did. Psalm chapter 5, verse 3, it says this. I'll give you a second to get there. My voice shalt thou hear, when? In the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. So the Bible says to pray without ceasing, and David said, you know what I'm going to pray? I'm going to pray in the morning. I'll give you my personal example is this. When I get up in the morning, I go to my desk, and I put my head, I have this little desk thing that holds my Bible up this way so I don't have to bend my neck. And I sit there with my head on my thing, and I just pray in the morning. I start my day off with prayer. And I would encourage, if you're going to do what the Bible says to pray without ceasing, you're going to have to start early in the morning. Now let me ask you this. When is the last time that you got up early in the morning and prayed? Now, if you say, man, I've never done that. Well, you can start. That's the whole point. That's the whole point about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, is that when the Bible's preached, when you see something in the Bible that says, well, I'm not doing that, you can say, you know what? I think I'll start praying in the morning. I challenge you this week, first thing in the morning, when you get up, talk to the Lord. First thing. Go over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We're talking about prayer, about being built up in Jesus Christ, about being what God wants you to be. And outside of having a prayer life, none of us are gonna accomplish that. Philippians chapter 4. You say, well, what if I have a problem with worrying, with fretting, or maybe I'm nervous all the time? The Bible says this in Philippians 4, chapter 6. Be careful for nothing. but in everything, by what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Look at what it says. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So the Paul's saying here, don't worry. Don't be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Pray. Talk to the Lord. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, one book back. Philippians chapter 6. Philippians chapter 6, verse 18. I'm sorry, yeah, Ephesians chapter 6. Thank you, Brother James. So this is part of the armor of God that everybody talks about, you know, the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. It goes all the way through that. And look at what it says at the end. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Go to James chapter 1, verse 5. I would say this, that prayer is important to God. Super important. And as a Christian, this is like the ABCs, right? Like we all know, read your Bible, pray every day, right? But hey, man, it's tough to actually have that time where you say, you know what, this is my time with the Lord. James chapter 1, verse 5. Let me get there. Sorry. James chapter 1, verse 5. Let's say you need wisdom. The Bible says this: if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Go to James chapter 5, verse 17. James 5:17. I want you to think about this. So you think, oh, I'm just praying and it's not a big deal. So if you look in the Bible, right, Elijah prayed and fire fell from heaven, right? Elijah also prayed and he stopped it from raining for 3.5 years. The Bible says that the disciples prayed. When the disciples prayed and the place was shaken. You remember when Paul and Silas were in jail, they prayed and sang praises, and the jail was opened, right? Because of prayer. There's power in prayer. This says here in verse 17, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. So Elijah prays, and it doesn't rain. And now look at what it says in verse 18. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Go back to Matthew. You say, all right, well, you give me all those verses. What does that mean to me? All right, I have an illustration that I always try to do some illustrations with the kids. And let's picture this, that this screw gun right here, somewhere up here, represents your life individually. Anybody named DeWalt in here? DeWalt? Now, this screw gun is not going to work unless I do what? Put the battery in it. And when I pray, this thing ain't going to fit, is it? I feel like whenever I pray, I don't know about you, like it gives me strength. It gives me strength to keep going, right? When I pray, I'm more likely. When I pray for the people that I'm upset with, I'm not as upset with them anymore. We work with guys, and sometimes it's hard to care about people that they seem like they're against themselves. But you know what? Every time I pray for them, it seems like things just work a little bit better. And you may have somebody in your life like that. And you say, well, I don't really know how to deal with this situation. Or maybe they're causing you a bunch of trouble. And you say, well, I'm trying to do it without prayer. And the way that I look at it is that every time I pray, it's like God is putting me on the charger. Right? I kneel down and I give him my burdens. I talk to him. And I promise, every time I do it, I get strength from the Lord. And you say, well, that doesn't really make any sense. I want to look at Matthew chapter 6 real quick, and I'm going to give you three simple points. And I want you to ask yourself, do I pray, or do I even care about prayer? The first thing that I want you to see about prayer is that you have to make it private. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 6, but when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. So what that tells me is that what Jesus is saying in the book of Matthew is that this prayer, it has to be a private prayer between you and the Lord. So he says, enter into your closet. So that doesn't mean that you necessarily have to go into a closet. But what it does mean is that in all of our lives, individually, now God's not going to hold me accountable for Jeremy's prayer life, or vice versa. But all of us in our lives, we should have a private place where we pray. The Bible says, in your closet, a designated place to pray. Pick a place. You say, well, I don't have one. You can pick one tonight. Now listen, you have a place where you go and eat, right? You have a place where every night you go and sleep. You got a place where you sit down and watch TV. I have a tree stand back at the ranch where I go stand there and hunt, right? You have a specific store, ladies, that you like to go shop at. Hey, God commands us to pray. And in Matthew, he says, when you pray, he doesn't say if you pray. He says when you pray. So when you pray, have a private prayer place, a specific place. Pick somewhere. Now most of you guys have kids. Pick somewhere that the distractions are limited. Pick a time and a place. If you say, well, I would say if you have kids, 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning in your living room is not a good place to kneel down and pray. You may have to get up early. You may have to stay up late. You may have to go hide somewhere from everybody you know. Pick a time. Listen, this is a practical thing. Pick a time when distractions are limited. And pick a time when distractions are minimal. Okay? I always say this. The earlier, the better. If you start off on the right foot with prayer, it's easier to stay on the right foot with prayer. Pick a private place. I'll look at a different one here. It's a personal prayer. And it's easy for us to just be like, oh, God, thank you for this day. I pray that you would bless everybody. Be with my mom. Amen. Right? No. Make it personal with God. The Bible says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Remember this, that God is your Father. Right? God's your Father. If you're saved, he's your Father. Be honest with him. Share your burdens with your Father. Passionately, be for real with your Father, right? And here's the thing. All of us in this room, we have things that only God can help us with, right? That maybe you got an issue that's going on in your life, and the only one that can solve this problem is God. Go to him. Go to him in private, and go to him personally. And the last thing is this. Be precise with your prayer. He said through in 11... In 11 through, or 9 through 13, he says, after this manner, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You say, well, what should I pray for? Pray for the will of God. Parents, pray that your kids will live for Christ. You could start there. Or pray for your brothers. Pray for your sisters. Pray for your pastor. Pray for your kids. Pray for the city of Henrietta. Pray for your church. Be specific. Have a precise Have a precise prayer. Pray for God's provision. Look at what it says. Give us this day our daily bread. Pray that God will provide what you need. Pray for forgiveness in verse 12. And forgive us our debts. If there's anything that all of us need, is what? We need forgiveness. Or how many of you did you mess up today? Raise your hand. Everybody raise your hand. We all messed up at one point or time or another. Hey, you know what you need to do? Ask God for forgiveness. Say, God, I'm sorry. I love you. Forgive me. Pray for God's will. Pray for God's provision. Pray for God's forgiveness. And also pray for God's protection. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So let me ask you this. If you're going to be rooted in Christ, you say, man, you talked a lot about prayer. Hey, prayer's important. I'll be completely transparent that there was a time in my life where prayer was not a part of my life at all. I sat in church. I taught Sunday school. I ushered. I worked at the church. I did all that. But I never prayed, ever. I went to a good Baptist, I mean, straight down the line, King James only, standards, convictions, all that. But my prayer life, no, it just non-existent. And when I made up my mind, I said, you know what? I'm gonna begin to pray. God commands us all to pray. You know what happened? I got strength, and I was able to do what I was created to do. And that goes for each and every one of you, even the kids. Kids, you guys listen up. You guys should pray too. You can talk to God. Hey, Zoe, you can talk to God if you want to. And remember this, that the Bible says that God really wants to hear from us. Can you imagine this, that you lived in a house with somebody and they never talked to you? Can you imagine that, going through, you just walking right by them and they never talk to you? Can you imagine how God feels that we go day after day after day after day, and all we do is just say, hey, God, and we walk. Hey, God, I know you sent your son to die for me. I know you said that you love the whole world. You gave your only begotten son, but I don't really have time to talk to you today. I know you've given me all that I need. You've given me a good family. You've given me a good house. But you know what, God, I got better people to talk to. Can you imagine how God feels if we just don't ever talk to him? It's that simple. We don't have to over spiritualize it or get critical or nitpicky, pointing fingers. Here's the truth, is that every single one of us, let's be honest, we can pray more, right? We can spend more time. How about this? This week, kids, adults, mamas, grandpas, young people, you say, you know what? I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to talk to God. I'm going to talk to him and see what God does in your life. Ask him. Ask God. Say, hey, ask the Lord. Say, Lord, will you please use my life? Lord, will you please help me to be what you want me to be? Lord, will you be with my kids? Will you bless them? Keep them safe? Will you bless my church? And I challenge all of us tonight that we make a decision that we'll pray for our pastor. How about that? We make up our minds. You say, you know what? I'm gonna every day, I'm gonna pray for Brother Nathan. I'm gonna pray for Miss Betsy. I'm gonna pray for Jer Heckle. Hey, they moved 2 hours away from everything that they knew to come here, because they believe that that's what God wants them to do. And I believe that as a church, we should make up our minds to say, you know what? I'm gonna pray for Brother Nathan. Isn't he a blessing? Isn't them coming here and being a pastor and helping us, that's been a blessing, right? We can make up our minds. We can say, you know what? I'm gonna pray for my pastor. I'm gonna pray for my kids every day. And I'm not only gonna pray for my kids, I'm gonna do my best to be what God wants me to be. Hey, the Bible says this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And you can't always do something if you don't start it.